First of all must go your scent upon my pillow, and then I'll say goodbye to your whispers in my dreams.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Saturday night edition of The French Connection. Just a short update for you on this Saturday, June 30th, 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and it's interesting. I'm going to get right into it. Christopher Bolin, long-time collaborator and only person, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, there's only been two people that have ever visited my house here in France since I started doing this. And Christopher was one of them with his kids and his wife. They came here on Thanksgiving dinner with me 2 years ago. And in fact, I've known him long enough to expect certain considerations. The other person that has known him even longer than myself, I think a year and a half longer than me, is Eric Huffschmidt, and he is going to be with me right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, here I am.
Nice to have you here, Eric, for a little update here on the Christopher Bolin question. How long have you known Chris? You knew him about a year and a half before me, didn't you?
Well, a little longer, actually, from the middle of 2002.
2002?
Yeah. That was when I first got in touch with him. He contacted me by email.
Ah. Well, you know, we've been around the block with each other, put a lot of files up together. We've done a lot of research together. And in spite of the attacks that were coming at us from left, right, and center, Eric, we never broke ranks, did we?
Nope.
No. Meaning, but by that I mean, you know, in spite of our even personal differences that we may have had during our association for the last few years, we still remain very strong in our work together. And I have to say that the events of late are very suspicious to me. How about you?
Well, yeah, that's for sure. His behavior, the way he just vanished. It's always been hard for him to communicate because he didn't have a phone and he didn't. So all he had really was email, and sometimes he had to go to the library just to get on a computer, especially if he was traveling. But, I mean, so it's always been hard for him to communicate, but, I mean, this is, we haven't heard from him for now, what is it, weeks or something?
Yeah, and there was no problem, no argument before the last communication together. There was no separating of our ways. There was I had no problems with Christopher. In fact, the last call we took together was a three-way call that we all spoke before the trial, and that was, I guess, about a month ago now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while, and yeah, there's no trouble. So you'd expect, at least if he was safe somewhere, the least he would do is send us a message. So we don't worry. But, you know, what's strange here is that, first of all, there wasn't much support for him when he went to trial, which to them, you got to put yourself in their position. Their position is, well, we'll see what happens. Well, not much of anything happened. So they figured, well, we got away with that. And see, if they're watching him and they realize he's trying to get out of the country and they're watching him, what would happen if they grabbed him on the way out? And then all they have to do now is do the next test, which is, well, we'll just tell people that he's still alive and watch the reaction there. So now, you know, both of us have now gotten a message that, oh, don't worry, he's alive still.
But it hasn't come from him, has it?
No, this is what's so strange. It didn't come from him. Somebody else claims to know this. So,
and not somebody we work with regularly either. In both instances, one of them from the one you got. You've never heard from this person before, and the other one that I heard from, I had received some emails some year ago or even longer, and then they dropped right off. But no relationship to the people claiming that Bolin is fine.
Well, that's right. And so what you have here is a potential situation where they were observing him. They saw that he wanted to leave the country. They grabbed him and his family, and now they're doing the next test to see, does anybody care? Or can they fool people into thinking that he's actually alive. Don't worry. And if we fall for this is, then they could go and take you or me and then tell somebody, oh, don't worry, he's alive. And then they could go after hundreds more people and then put a message on, oh, don't worry, they're alive. This is what they also seem to have done with people like Timothy McVeigh and even Hitler. They're saying, oh, they're alive, don't worry. Well, how do we know any of these people are really alive? Well, there's even accusations, oh, Ken Lay, he's alive down in South America. Oh, how do we know that? You know, what they may just do is say these things to pacify people. Not just people like us, but people that work for them. Their own stooges, their own fools that have been duped into working with them. They may be telling people, oh, Tim McVeigh's alive, don't worry. And he may not be alive. But if they can get away with this, it's like that Weekend at Bernie's movie, where the person's actually dead and no one notices. And so people have to take this seriously. You know, the Zionist movement is being exposed. These people are in desperate shape right now. They've got to do something. So,
well, this Zeitgeist movie came out, Eric, and I watched the whole thing, and what a deception. It's about 80% correct, and then it moves you directly away from Zionism. And guess who all of the quotes and stuff on there? Bemis from Burmese from Youth Loose Change, Alex Jones. They had what's his name? Russo was on it. And they don't talk about the Zionist Jewish control of the planet, and they don't talk about individual governments being thoroughly and completely controlled by Zionism. What they do instead is talk around these subjects and give you the idea that central banking has nothing to do with Zionism, and that these people are not in charge. It is a deceptive movie, and it's already got 100,000 downloads on Google.
Well, yes, they're like I say, they're getting desperate, and they're just pumping out the propaganda. Even the satire sites. There's one already about this latest car bombing that just happened in England. You know, where they have some propane tanks in the trunk.
Yeah, yeah. That's
okay,
nonsense.
So there's already a satire page that says, you know, Gordon Brown tells MI5, oh, that wasn't scary enough. The British public's not falling for it. And what is it doing? It's shifting the blame to MI5. So, implying that MI5 set that up.
Yep.
And see, what people don't realize is it's all over. The jokes are actually deceptive. The satire sites are deceptive. The truth sites are deceptive. But you can tell it's because they're panicking. And especially if you listen to Alex Jones lately and his ranting and raving about the police, it's like they're almost afraid that the police are starting to realize they've been suckers all this time.
Yeah.
And he is so angry at the police right now.
Well, you know, Eric, I got to tell you, you know, in this recent situation with Christopher, my experience with Chris and Halya and would be that we would have received some sort of response.
Well, yeah, you'd expect them to at least say we're okay. This is just, to just vanish like this. But you see, if he's actually been captured, who knows? Maybe he's still alive. Maybe they're waiting to see the reaction. But you see, if they've got him, or he's dead, they can't have him contact us. It's like Osama bin Laden. Look at the tapes that come from Osama bin Laden. They can't really have him walk out there in front of a clear camera and give us clear video of the guy.
He's not around anymore.
Well, this is the problem they're going to have with Bolin. If they killed him, they can't have him contact us. We know his voice. We know what we know him. It's too late. They can't fake it.
Yeah.
And see, if people fall for this stuff, then what's to stop them from picking up everybody else and then fooling everybody? Oh, don't worry, they're alive.
No, there's absolutely no evidence that I've seen that says that he's any place safe. And I don't agree with anybody who said that to this point at all. And this article that came out recently on his website certainly is not a convincing one, simply because the people that he has in almost every line there, this woman, this Jewish woman, Shelton, is frightfully unreliable, in my view. And she just popped up during the trial, this woman, and took a front and center position in this. And it seems very, very deceptive to me, and the fact that I don't know this woman from Adam, and yet he's touting her credentials in almost every line there. You want to go into that a little bit?
Well, actually, yeah, it was a few months before the trial that somehow they made contact. I don't know exactly how it was, but it's actually been a few months before the trial. And I had even called her up talked to her on the phone. And when, you know, I was talking to her, assuming, oh, she's a friend of Boleyn, so, you know, no big deal. I was talking to her. And when we started getting into, you know, like 9/11 and the Zionist angle, that's when she started refusing, not even willing to talk about it, just refusing to deal with it. And then she started going into how her relatives know all sorts of people who died in the Holocaust, and she started giving me those usual sad stories, and I tried to say, well, who? What do you mean? Your family died in the Holocaust? And she wouldn't give any specific answer. It was one of these, well, it's personal, and it's very traumatic, and I don't want to go into it. And then she started telling me how her relatives worked on the Apollo moon landing, and she knows they landed on the moon. Her relatives worked for it. And after a while, you know, after arguing with her, the Zionists are involved in 9/11 and all the rest of this, she ended up hanging up on me. So this could be somebody who got to know them, because she lives in Chicago, and she's a doctor, a pediatrician or something or other. So, you know, it's a perfect example. I mean, a perfect case for, you know, she might say to them, you know, I'm a local, I'm here to help you. And it would fool a lot of people. And so that may have been how she got to know them in the beginning, by pretending to be one of their friends and supporters. When in reality, she's monitoring them. And she's at the trial every day. She went to the trial for the entire 4 or 5 days, whatever it was, to watch. And what is she? Is she really a friend? And then what about the other people that showed up? See, this is the position Boleyn was in. Who shows up except for people trying to monitor him, send him in the wrong direction, give him bad advice? And so these people may have been watching him and realizing, oh, now he's going to run. Let's get him on the way out. And then we can just kill him. And then we'll just tell everybody he's still alive. And if they get away with this, it's just, again, we're suckers to let this happen. Yeah. If we don't hear from him ourselves, we can't assume he's alive. It's the same with the people that think Tim McVeigh's alive. If you don't hear from the guy, don't be a fool and think he's alive.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, and there's something very, very, something smells very rotten fish to me, Eric, and I'm going to say that to my listeners, that I don't like the smell of this one, and it's my stomach has been very bothered by what I have been reading and understanding about this, and especially today's recent post and all of this stuff that supposedly on his website and all this nonsense. And then I read the article, and it made very little sense to me that that's the response that he would have put out there and as his first communication. It just didn't wash with me at all, and I smelled a rat, and I actually got angry about it, and I didn't even know why I was angry. I was just plain angry, and well, my sense telling me something wrong here.
Well, I know. I think it's because you look at it and you realize something's wrong, but you don't think of see your first reaction. A lot of times, a person's first reaction is that they sense something wrong, but they don't realize what it is. You'll see this a lot of times. Your first reaction. It's like when I was first watching, a lot of people were first watching the 9/11 attack, they got the sense like something's wrong, but then they dismiss it. You see, and the same is true with this situation. You sense something's wrong, but you don't know what it is, but it's a sign there is something wrong here.
There is something wrong, and I don't trust what we've been told thus far, and unless and until I hear from Christopher. He's got my number, he's got your number, Halia knows how to get in touch with both of us. There are ways that we would be able to confirm the fact that they are who and what they say, and we would be able to put this to rest. But at this point, things are actually getting less clear and less, I trust what's happening less now than before. And in fact, if this is the case, that they don't contact us, I'm going to be rather certain in my mind that something is awry here. Something's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And what people have to realize, see, even Boleyn had this problem when I told him, you know, be careful who you trust. It really would hurt him to think that one person after the next that he trusted was really trying to hurt him. You know, it hurts people to think of this, because you look around at your fellow Americans, you think, these are my fellow Americans. These are my relatives, my friends. And it hurts to realize this country is just, it's unbelievable. It's like, what is it, 10% of the population is working for these people? You know, it's really sad, but you have to face it. It's really that bad.
Well, Andrew Jackson, when he got rid of the Federal Reserve back in the 1860s, 1870s, Eric, he had to get rid of 15% of the government.
Yeah, and
because he kept these crooks out for 70 years, but he had to get rid of 15% of the entire government because he said that's how many people had been compromised. And it wasn't that they were in leadership positions, but they had been co-opted in some way and were put to good use by the Zionists back then. And the fact of the matter is, why would we think it's any different today?
Well, it isn't. All you have to do is look at the universities and the professors. You wouldn't realize there's any intelligence at any of these universities if you look at what these people are doing and saying. I mean, what is wrong with these people? They're making a lot of money. They have tenure. People are paying a fortune to send their kids to school. And what do we get from these people? The universities are just almost totally under their control. And I don't know why it all is, but it is. And people have to face this. And what's interesting is if people will just look at the gangs that we do know, the Italian gangs, the Gambinos and the others, you'll see how they did it. How they would go about it, compromising people, and how they attract people, how they get people into their organization. You know, they wait for them to do something. They take experienced criminals. You see, if you look at how they grew and how they got big, how they would buy policemen, how they would buy politicians, how they get their people in there, and then they can get rid of the honest people. They can set them up to be killed. And then you look at how they attract people. Look at this Luke Rutowski, who's now, he went from being nobody a few months ago. Now he's like one of Alex Jones's. He's always on Alex Jones now. He's everywhere. This kid is everywhere. He never says anything intelligent. He never does anything intelligent. Why is he all of a sudden so prominent in this so-called truth movement? And then you look at his good friend Dan Wallace. Well, he's dead. This could be a sign that he just did his entry into the group. He may have been involved in killing that guy. He got away with it, and now he gets to join the big boys like Alex Jones. I mean, look at the Italian gangs. This is exactly what they did. You want to get into the gang, you've got to do something. They don't just take you according to an application that you fill out.
Well, that's not to say that this kid did that, but where you're making an example of how the conspiracies operate.
I'm not saying he did it.
That kind of claim, Eric, is a little bit off the cuff there.
No, I didn't say he did it. I'm saying look at it, and it fits the same pattern that we see with the Italian gangs, where people, once they do something, they've got to do something first. Then they get promoted, they get accepted. I'm just saying it fits the pattern.
That Zeitgeist movie, Eric, was so telling to me. It was so unbelievable, and it's slick, slick, slick. It's a slick movie, and it's already got 100,000 people watching it. Have you seen this movie?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. I know what you mean. It's just more propaganda.
And you know what? They use about 80% facts, but where they turn you away is when it comes to the Zionist Jewish connection and the Christian Zionist connection, and those connections are absolutely solid in anybody's research who's honest, and these people just absolutely refused to make that connection, and it was almost like, you know, who do you got in this? You got Jones, and you've got you can hear the voice of the Loose Change people. You can hear Aaron Russo's voice. Who else is featured in this thing? Oh God, Webster Tarpley. They've got Jordan.
Maxwell
Jordan. All of the people we have told our listeners over and over again are stinking to high heaven, and they will not talk about world Zionism. I'm surprised they didn't put Alan Watt on the front page of this nonsense. The truth of the matter is this is a propaganda piece, extraordinaire, pushing people away from the facts. And I'm going to tell you something. They are doing a full court press right now trying to push people away from the facts because the truth was and is coming out. And I'm going to tell everybody, do not get lied to by this stuff. And I'm saying also, Christopher Bolin would have contacted me or you. And, you know, in spite of what the listeners out there think, look at the slander job they've been trying to do on the forums against Bolin and against you and me. It is a full court press. And you want to take a look at the Wake Up From Your Slumber site and take a look at the people trying desperate. They will do nothing but post on the sites that slander you, me, and Bolin. That's all they do.
Well, yeah, they want to get rid of us. As the Zionist ship sinks, you know, what do you think? There's going to be some people that are going to get more desperate to save it. And what people also have to look at are the accusations by that woman named Linda Kennedy that Peter Khawaja is actually dead and Dave Von Kleist is answering his emails and pretending to be him. You know, these people are not fooling around. They want this control of America, Europe, the world.
And there was a freaky exchange I had with this guy Khawaja, and I thought, what the heck is going on here? And it smelled like a rotten fish way back when I called this guy, and it didn't sound like a Khawaja to me.
Yeah, because you wanted to interview him on the radio, right?
Yep.
And think about it. If it's not really him, how can he be interviewed? It's like Osama bin Laden. You can't interview someone who doesn't exist because then people will realize it's not his voice. Unless somebody can, you know, somebody would really have to fake it very well. So that could be why you couldn't get that interview with him. There is something possibly wrong with this. He may be dead. And we can't let the same thing happen with Bolin and then let it happen with more of us. So people have to start taking this seriously. I mean, even this bomb in London, let's hope these people don't fall for this trick. Some gasoline containers and propane tanks.
I mean, it would have made have you ever seen over here in France they were lighting up cars that were run on LP gas,
right?
You know the biogas LP gas. They were, and when those cars blew up, it was a basic propane gas canister that the car ran on, and of course when the car caught fire, the canister would blow, but no big deal. It was a little poof.
Well, yeah, you get a fireball. So it's not really an explosion because without the oxidizer mixed in with the fuel, all it does is splatter fuel and then the fuel will ignite and you get a fireball. It's not a real explosion in the sense that of a bomb.
No.
And so what the people in Britain, hopefully they can see through this silly trick. They're just getting desperate. People have to realize that they are losing. And instead of Americans and British and Europeans getting frightened, we should realize we're winning. They are in a desperate situation, and you can hear it just listening to them. Look at the propaganda they put out and their attempts to push us away and get rid of us. They desperately want to stop this.
Well, the propaganda that I've been seeing lately, Eric, from the British side of things, is so transparent. It's as bad as that 7/7 false attack they did. And we also got a French version of this down in Marseille that was nonsense. Nonsense. Absolute foolishness.
Well, I think it's a sign that we're winning. We've got to go for it now and especially keep pounding on these police and tell them they're suckers. They've been fools all this time. Because if they realize this, who is going to be able to enforce any of their crazy laws? You know, who's going to, if the police realize that they're being used, then when Chertoff or anybody else tells them to do something, they'll say no. This is what we have to do. And they'll say, instead of just saying no to them, they might even get to the point of saying, you're under arrest, Chertoff. That's it. We've had enough of you.
That's
right. Might get to that point. But we have to realize, there's another thing people have to realize. Look at those Italian gangs. Look at the history of them. They got their own people into the police department, and they bribe them. We have to distinguish between the real policemen and the criminals who have infiltrated. Don't even call them policemen. They are criminals. They might wear a badge. It doesn't mean anything. They're not policemen. The real policemen are the ones that, if they wake up to this, then you can understand the panic that's going on right now with Alex Jones and his ranting and raving about the police.
What a looney tune. I, I, you know, I don't think anybody with a brain is left listening to him. It's astonishing because he just, I'll beat you up, and I fight and beat. And I'm listening. I'm saying to myself, "Holy smokes, this guy's a ranting lunatic."
Yeah, but look at what it was like a couple years ago. See, this is a sign they're losing, all of them. And this is why people, instead of getting more frightened, should be getting more excited and turn on the heat. Start contacting people even more. They are losing. So this is when we should get stronger. You go after them now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Eric, we don't have the answers in every case, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm putting this out to our listeners, our 10,000 or even more people who will listen to this file. I hope it gets posted on every forum and challenge this one. This one is the one that we really need answers to. This is we're putting out a call to the listenership that we get a message to Christopher Bolin, if in fact you know where he is, and have him find some way of getting in contact with us directly, because otherwise the rest of it's nonsense. And, you know, after having had a long, multi-year relationship with this guy that has always remained on good terms when we did our work together, all three of us, there is absolutely no reason. And see, this is why people have to understand. A lot of people said, why would Bolin support Smith and Huffschmidt over American Free Press? Because he knew that our relationship was honest and solid, Eric, and he was not going to turn on people he knew were doing a good job. He just wouldn't do it.
Well, yeah, he wouldn't bother. I know, that's exactly right. He realized American Free Press was bad, but he's never had anything against us.
That's right.
So there's no reason for this. This doesn't even make sense.
No.
He wouldn't just vanish like this. And
no.
So we've got a real problem here, and people need to don't get frightened so easily.
No. No. And put this out into the world. And until the next time, Eric, you know, I've got an interview coming up, I think, in the next day or two. Hopefully somebody that's going to shed light on another subject. But we got to keep fighting here. This is the time to turn the heat up, not to get, fearful and oh, no, you know.
Yeah, this is the time the human race is on a verge, it looks like, of changing dramatically. The Internet is removing the secrecy that has been protecting this organized crime network. I mean, we have the chance now to do something.
Yep.
Their control over the media, they still have the media, but we can undercut them through the Internet, through CD-ROM.
Well, even the media is getting their fat lips left and right. They can't. I mean, people are making fun of some of the articles coming out of the mainstream media today. They're going, this is, I mean, what are you people? Have you lost your mind? And they can't even manage the flow of the nonsense coming out of their own organizations anymore.
That's right. So we've got it. This is the chance now. The human race has a chance to do something for a change. This is a great opportunity. But if they listen to the wrong people, they're going to get scared. They're going to get scared that we're going to become a police state. They're going to put chips under you.
We need to do a video response, a 15 or 10-minute video response to the Zeitgeist movie and just tear it a new behind, Eric, because I got to tell you, watch it till the end. You will come up with so many places where this thing is just a fraud, and we should put out the answer to Zeitgeist nonsense and put it up on YouTube, because I got news for you. This is bull, and it's already got, I think it's got 150,000 downloads. We got to put the kibosh on that crap right away.
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully people will start seeing through this, because all you have to do is once you realize what's going on, you can just observe who they all are. They're operating in front of us. Their secrecy is being removed. Just look at who they are and who they link to, and you can identify them, and you can start realizing their techniques. Once you realize their techniques and who they are, you can avoid their tricks.
Yeah.
But people have to realize it's bigger than they realize. Bigger. It's much bigger. It's a very big movement, and don't assume that these mysterious friends in the movement are on your side. Be careful. They're probing you for information. They want to know where you're going, what you're doing. They're watching. They're trying to manipulate. You've got to take this very seriously.
Yeah. Well, Eric, appreciate it. By the way, you know, if anybody out there feels like writing an email to Katie Malua. Katie Malua is, by the way, an Armenian gal who came from Georgia at age 8. She's a great singer. The interesting thing about this gal is that her home country was completely destroyed by Zionist Jews from the Donome. And her brethren and her group of her heritage was destroyed over there during that Armenian massacre, put together by the Donome, which is the Jewish controlled Turkish government, which is still controlled by the Israeli Ashkenazi group. And she may be interested in finding out the facts about that. Send her the Berkness thing. Send her an email with Christopher John Berkness's analysis of the Armenian massacre and how the Donme did it, because it's pretty powerful, isn't it, Eric?
Well, yeah, if the Armenians can just start, they're another group. They don't even want to look at their own history. It's like trying to get America to look at 9/11. People have to take a look at that. The Armenians, the Russians need to look at all their massacres. The Europeans need to look at the world wars more closely. People have to stop this fear of looking into these issues.
Yeah.
And realize they're being tricked. They're out being, it's deception on an amazing scale.
And their ability to intimidate and to murder their way to keeping their lies together is really starting to fray.
Yeah.
People, you know, I got a cousin over here, and he said, Daryl, this is a lie, isn't it? It stinks like a lie. This is when they did the 7/7 thing over here in London a couple years back. And I said, why do you think it's a lie? And he told me, and I said, you're right on the money. He said, it just felt like a lie. He said, I knew 9/11 was a lie. This one is too. And now, I mean, he's just a regular guy, Eric. He's not a researcher into this stuff. He just looked at the way of the land, the lay of the land, and said, this is a bunch of nonsense.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. A lot of things, you can sense there's something wrong, but most people just dismiss it. But they sense it. And so once you start explaining to them what it is, then they start putting it together. And
yep.
That's what we can now do through this internet and the CD-ROMs and the DVDs. This is why we now have an advantage. We can now tell people, look at this information. This will explain why you felt all those strange feelings about 9/11 and all these other incidents. So it's a perfect opportunity to get this, you know, take advantage of this situation, take advantage of the technology and start pushing it on people. And just remember, they might ignore you at first, but keep it going. And you can even do it with telemarketers. I did this with somebody when somebody from India called. It's perfect. When you get these guys from India on the phone, bring up 9/11. It's a direct link to India. And their first reaction might be, what are you talking about? But if everybody starts doing this, when these Indian telemarketers call, they're going to start wondering, why are the Americans talking about 9/11 all the time? And they will start looking into it. And so you can do this when the telemarketers call you, or when people come to your house to, you know, marketing something.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, they might not be too receptive, but those people from India, they will... Talk to them. Some of them will listen to you. It actually works. And same with some of the other telemarketers. Take advantage of the situation and just spread the information. And remember, they might not at first understand, but when they hear it from another person and then another person, then they might start looking.
Yeah. Well, it is getting around the world, and we got to keep the fight going here. And so we're gonna call this a file, Eric. This is just a short file. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to turn the heat up in every way, on every forum and every place. Say that there's suspicion about Boland's being alive. That this last article smells rotten to the people who know him best. Trust in the fact that we don't trust that this stuff came from Christopher. And until we hear from Christopher, we think that there's very good reason to be very suspicious here. So keep your eyes and ears open. Write stuff everywhere you can. Tell everybody you can. Get that Zygos thing and start trashing the tar out of it. It's a lie from halfway through to the end. It's just one deception after another pointing you in the wrong direction about who is responsible for the sicknesses in the world. Make sure you keep that in mind as well. But until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you all, please be well. Bye-bye now.
First of all must go your scent upon my pillow, And then I'll say goodbye to your whispers in my dreams. And then our lips will part in my mind and in my heart. 'Cause your kiss went deeper than my skin. Piece by piece is how I let go of you. Kiss by kiss, we'll leave my mind one at a time, one at a time. First of all must fly my dreams of you and I. There's no point in holding on to those. And then our ties will break for your and my own sake. Just remember, this is what you chose. Piece by piece is how I let go of you. Kiss by kiss, we'll leave my mind one at a time, one at a time. I'll shed like skin our memories of lazy days and fade away the shadow of your face. My mind one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, one at a time.